The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Lord, be on my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" And he said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. And Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good are these for so many?" And Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. And Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who were reclining, and also as much as the fish as they wanted. And when they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." And so they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that they had, that had been more than they could eat. And when people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is to come into the world." And since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. On a very high level, Jesus is doing the same thing as the prophet Elisha that we heard in the first reading, but only doing it better. All that came from the Old Testament prefigured what Christ was to do. And the people recognize that right at the end. But also there's many layers of meaning. One thing that's important to point out, you've probably heard before, but why were the people coming to Jesus in this gospel? And it's important to point out that they were not coming to be fed. They had just seen all the healings that Jesus had done. And so they wanted to go deeper, to seek him more, to be with him, to not have him leave their company. And so they left behind and quickly hurried to the spot on the other side of the lake. That means they walked all the way around the lake. And he was going across, and they beat him there and waited for him to disembark. And then he taught them. And then he knew that they were hungry. That is the right priority. To seek God first above all things, seek ye first the kingdom of God, not even worrying so much about your physical, worldly needs. How many of us really do that? Hopefully, over time, we learn. But most of us start out just the opposite way. We feel we have to work hard for our bread, to earn a living, to make security for ourselves in our family. And then, if we have time, we start thinking about God. Or perhaps, tragically, some tragedy happens to make us think about it and realize that we need Him. Or maybe just our advancing years. And so most of us go about this backwards. But Jesus is saying here, as He says elsewhere, seek ye first the kingdom, and all these other things will be provided. You see, when we go about seeking only what will be needed for this world on our own strength, the danger is we might actually find it. And that will limit us. Because whatever we build or do for ourselves is simply our human effort. But God wants to do so much more. And if we have that faith and that courage to trust Him and seek His more, even though we may not know what it is, He will do more than we ever expected we could. Maybe in ways different than we would have planned. And along the way, He will provide for us. He tests Philip. He sees all the people. He knows what He's going to do, as He knows for each one of us. And so He tests Philip. He tests us. He gives us free will and says, what are you going to do about all these needs? Well, by my human strength, I don't know if I can do it. And so, in our own life, in the life of the world, we're called always to put God first and trust that He will provide. Many people say to me, is there really a God? So many people are starving. Why doesn't God take care of them? Well, one could just as well ask, why don't we take care of them? And I would guess the answer is we're too busy taking care of ourselves first and giving the leftovers to others. Whereas God's order is to seek first the kingdom and to work for the good of all people and trust that God will provide for us. Trust in God frees us to be generous to others with everything we have. And how many times do we feel that we're inadequate for whatever the task is before us? Whether it's caring for our children and mustering up some more patience, or whether it's looking at the problems of the world with the homeless or all the many problems, whether it be our work or whatever it is, and say, Lord, I just can't do this. Well, that's a good thing. That's wisdom. And so what the Lord is saying, when you have those moments, look around. Take whatever little you have and first offer it to me. The boy gave it to Jesus and Jesus blessed it. And so whatever it is we have, whatever it is we feel we're lacking, just take whatever we have. Say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Take what little I have, bless it, multiply it, and I give it to you to use for your kingdom. It's a powerful little prayer. This week we were away with the Friars, but yesterday and today I did funerals. And the funeral I did yesterday was a small little graveside with about 12 people. And the story was incredible. It was a 60-year-old man who for the first 30 years was extremely successful in life. He was extremely intelligent. He owned his own business. He was a pilot, adventurer, had lots of friends. But then he contracted schizophrenia. And he became homeless for the major part of the rest of his life. And at the funeral was a man who befriended him when he was homeless. His name was Randy. Randy saw him on the street corner and wondered what he could do. And so he stopped and just said hello. And then he'd stop again, buy him a cup of coffee or give him a few dollars. Over a 10-year period, Randy kept reaching out to this man. He even went as far as buying him a mobile home and parked it. And it took him a long time to trust to go into that mobile home and live in it, but he did. And finally, one day, the man told him his last name, along with, over the years, many details. And so he was able to look up his family, who did love him and did care for him. And so he reunited him with his family. And shortly thereafter, he died. And he was at the funeral. 10 years that started in a very small way. And he changed a life, saved a person. And the family and the other people said, "Wow, you're a hero. Thank you so much for doing that." And he said, "It was a joy. I enjoyed every step of the journey, every sacrifice." Because he told Randy, "I'm a Christian just trying to help you." Or he told this homeless man, Randy did, that, "I am a Christian just trying to help you." Because the homeless man, Carlo, didn't trust him. And so, what little we have, with God blessing it, can go a long way in our world and in our lives. Let us trust in that power of God. Take what little we have, offer it to God to be blessed and multiplied. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything else he will provide.